The question is about the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. We have a whole variety of agencies that try to protect us against buying drugs that are dangerous, against toys that are dangerous. I think we need clearly something to oversee financial products that are both dangerous and predatory. There was a lot of predatory lending that was going on. We knew it. Attempts were made to stop it, but those who were making a lot of money from it stopped the attempts to stop it, not surprisingly. One of the reasons why it's so important, the debate, everybody agrees that we ought to do something about it, but some people think we ought to put it within the umbrella of the Fed or some other agency. The problem is one of focus and capture. When you have something like that done by an agency that's very linked to the investment, for those who are doing it, they're not likely to do an effective job. Moreover, as I said, focus, having somebody who thinks about protecting those who are buying the product is a good thing. I would actually go further. It's not only that they're trying to protect people, they ought to be trying to encourage innovation. You know, one of the things, the financial sector prided itself about innovation, but it didn't innovate the kind of products that would have enabled most Americans to manage the simple risk of home ownership. They created products that actually made it more difficult to manage that risk. So I would want somebody to say, here is some problems. You go and try to solve that. There are solutions, or at least partial solutions, but our financial markets didn't get there. So the question was it was about securitization, a lot of criticism of securitization. The question wasn't the real problem, leverage. Leverage was a real problem. That increased risk. Those of you who studied economics may remember general theorems pointing out that increased leverage doesn't really increase the resources available. It just simply shifts risk from one party to another, and therefore you're not really buying anything about it. But securitization had advantages and disadvantages. I always joke that when I gave lectures to my students, they listened to the first lecture about the advantage of diversification, and then they ran down to Wall Street to make money, and they didn't listen to the second two lectures. The second lecture was the fact that it only works, or it works well, only if there are uncorrelated risks. What happens in one place isn't correlated with the other. When interest rates change, you get correlated risk around the country, and therefore that's one of the reasons why you had impacts all over. But the other point was, related to my own research, was that securitization had the effect of creating information asymmetries. The people creating the mortgages were not the people who kept the mortgages. Some of we jokingly, you know, say that the model of securitization was that there was a fool born every moment. You could create a bad mortgage and find somebody to buy these bad mortgages. Globalization had opened up a global marketplace for fools. And we were very good at finding them everywhere in the world, Norway, Europe, everywhere. Yeah, the main thing, the proposal I talk about in the book is Homeowners Chapter 11. The idea is the following. We have a bankruptcy code. It is often the case that firms owe more money than they can pay back. We have a special provision of that bankruptcy called Chapter 11 that allows firms to have a very quick write-down of what they owe. The bondholders become the new equity owners. It's a restructuring, a financial restructuring. We do it very quickly because we want to preserve jobs and the enterprises. But what I argue is preserving families, homes, people in their homes is very important, is as important as preserving corporations. And so it's what I try to explain, that there's an analogy between corporate Chapter 11 and my homeowner's Chapter 11, which would address this problem. Chance of passing that? Very little. But if enough people start marching in the street, maybe it'll happen. And there are enough people. We've never had so many people affected adversely in the current situation. You know, with, as I say, more than one out of four in with negative equity. By the way, this negative equity is going to have a profound effect on our society and our economy, and is already doing so. Let me just give you two examples. One of the distinguishing features of American economy has been its dynamic nature, people moving all over the country. When you move, you sell your house, you buy another house. Right now, you sell your house, and you have how much do you get back for it? Zip. You got nothing. You have a liability. So you can't move anywhere else. So there's a real worry about this, the dynamic mobility of our economy being impaired. Secondly, part of the dynamic characteristic is people move down to Florida and to other sunspots in retirement. Well, they can't do that either. And so we are going to have some real geographical imbalances, real problems that are going to persist potentially for half decade, a decade or more. I think it is very likely that he will be reappointed. I think it's very likely, though, that he will get a – we know that he's going to get a number of votes against him. That is an attempt by Congress to send a very strong message that there is a lot of unhappiness about what happened in the process of the bailout and what is continuing to happen. And the thing that's upsetting a lot of people is the lack of transparency of the Fed. Bernanke began by being, he had written a lot as an academic about the importance of transparency, but then when the AIG bailout came, there was a very big, and the Bear Stearns, a very big change in stance. And you may know that Bloomberg sued the Fed to find out what happened under the Freedom of Information Act, which is a law that I think was absolutely essential for our democracy. The court supported the view that people ought to have access to that knowledge, that they are a public agency. Did Bernanke give the information? No. He appealed. And so far, it's only through intense congressional scrutiny that we've been able to find out what happened. And we found out, we understood why they wanted to hide it. So the reason for secrecy, the reason for transparency has been reestablished. I think that's part of it. There are very deep problems also with the governance of the Federal Reserve System, that the regional banks, who do play a very big role in regulation, are actually, that whole system, a number of the people who are sitting on the boards, who are appointing, even chairman of the boards, are from the banks that are being regulated. If we were, you know, as in the role of chief economist, we saw that governing structure in a developing country, we would be very critical. We would say this country has, we quote, governance problems. I'm afraid that this country has some governance problems.